Well, it's 6 months ago today that I was actually here. Do you know that was before the winter? Winter's behind us. Spring's arrived. What a good your memory is, though, what I spoke on last time. Last time I was here, I spoke to you on the road to Emmaus. And I asked you all that question that was asked that Jesus said to the two on the road. Why are you downcast? And we looked at a selection of D's. They were in disbelief. They'd lost their direction. They shouldn't have come away from Jerusalem. And they were disappointed that their Jesus, which they imagined was going to come from back from the dead, they had not seen. And we spoke about very mainly things which cause us to be downcast. And I shared with you, as a congregation, the thing that makes me very downcast is the fact that my children don't always follow the Lord. Some of them have, but sadly, not all of them. Brought up in a Christian home, came to know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, baptised as a public demonstration of their faith, but have never followed on in the way which we would have wanted them to do so. And it makes us very, very downcast. And so as I shared that with you, one of your congregation said to me afterward, this is going to be the year of the prodigal's return. Now, I've lived by that. I know that 6 months ago, and I've lived by that statement. I believe that's a word from the Lord anyway. This will be the year of the return of the prodigal. So my mind this afternoon is obviously very much on the return of the prodigal. So that's what we're going to think about together. The story which we read last time I was here is a true account of what happened with the two on the road to Emmaus when they met Jesus. But this afternoon's story is a parable. It's drawing a story to teach us a lesson. And this lesson this afternoon, I trust, will be something that will be real to every one of us. The story, of course, is the story of God is the Father, and the Son that's gone off into the distance is you and me. The Father is always caring for the child, always wanting the wanderer to come back. And that we will look at in a moment. I want us to think about one particular sentence which there is in the story. And when he came to his senses. Do you know, there's a thing lacking in the world today. It's called common sense. It's in the government. It's in everybody seems to be doing their own thing. But there's a lot of common sense is no longer out there. Why do boys carry knives? Common sense tells you, if you're going to carry a knife, you're going to use it. If people go and do the things they do, they don't think of the consequences. And maybe that's the case here with the son. Did he think of the consequence of what it was to leave his father's house? He probably lived in a home where he was loved. His father would have loved him. There's no reference to his mother. We don't know whether Dad was a single parent or not. But Dad would have loved him, and he would have cared for him and his brother. So can you imagine the disappointment and the common sense blown out of the window when the younger son comes down to breakfast and says, Dad, thank you for everything you've done for me, but I'm actually going. I've decided I'm leaving home. Do you know what? When my eldest daughter decided at the age of 18 to leave home and go and live with some girlfriends, which she was involved with at the community church, to Sarah walked down the drive with a bag, she was being picked up with a colleague. Do you know, it was one of the saddest days of my life. To see her walk away from home, all that we had sought to do as a mum and dad, and yet she decided to go her own way. But that was her own thing. That was the thing she wanted to do. And this is the story we have here. But with this lad, it's different. Because he said to his father, I don't want to wait till where you die. I want my inheritance now. And we're living in a now society. Common sense has gone out the window. They've got no sense, these people. They want to have it, get rid of it, blow it, and then live off somebody else. Common sense tells you, live as long as you can a comfortable life, in a life which is secure, a life where you're looked after, yet he walks away from it. So he says to his father, can I have my inheritance? It would have probably been an inheritance of property or land. It could have been money. We don't know. So his father might have had to sell things, like the farmers have got to now, this inheritance thing, to try and survive. And he would have turned it into some form of monetary form and given it to his son. Interesting, isn't it? The father never attempted to stop his son leaving. He never said, I don't want you to go. He wanted him to have his own free will. And that's what God has given us. He's given us free will to do what we want to do. That's what he said to the first man in the garden. You can have what you like in the garden, free will, but don't do that. Don't touch of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God has given us a free will. He didn't attempt to stop him. And sometimes common sense goes out the window with all of us. And we make decisions and we do things which we regret. But God never stopped us doing them. He allowed them to happen to teach us a lesson, so that we would learn from them, from those mistakes. Let's be honest about it. Every mistake I've ever made, and I've made quite a few, I've learnt from them. I've learnt that's not the right way to do things. If only I'd listened to somebody that was wiser than me. Common sense out the window. I'm going to do my own thing. So the morning came, and the son decides, with his bag of whatever he had, to leave home. And his father would have stood on the doorstep, probably, and he would have seen him going into the distance, making what he believed probably to be a terrible mistake for his son to leave home. But in every case, letting him go to do exactly what he wanted to do. Well, when you've got money, you've got friends, haven't you? There's no problem with that, is there? You know, if you go out for a meal with somebody, or if you go out for a party with somebody, if you've got a pocket full of money, they're pleased to take your drinks, aren't they? They're pleased for you to pay. They're pleased for you to give them something for nothing. As long as you've got money, you've got friends. And he did all this. The Bible says he lived a life of wild living. Well, whatever that meant, we're not quite sure. But we can imagine in our minds the lifestyle that he must have lived. But like everything else, you see, there comes a time when the money runs out. Unless something's put into it, then there comes a time when there's nothing left. And people would like that today. I mean, I remember very, very clearly, as a boy, and my sister Anne will probably remember the story. There was a man in the church that we were growing up, and he inherited some money, and it went to his head. He started wild living. He did. he absolutely lost it as far as God was concerned. He walked away from his faith. He walked away from his wife and his family. He walked away with his job. He walked away with everything. Just like this man here. But one day, he came to his senses. And he said to my dad, just like this lad, do you know, I've been a fool. All that I had is gone. I've lost my home. I've lost my family. I've lost my job. I've lost my money. And I've lost my relationship with God. But, just like the story here, there's a happy ending to his life. Because he came back to the Lord. He came back and was restored to his family. He came back and he got a job. My dad got the job. Brought back into fellowship, in our fellowship here in Yeovil. But there was that point in his life where he'd come to the end of everything. His sense had gone, and common sense eventually came in. And he came to his senses. And this lad in this story is so clear of that. We find that he's run out of money, he's run out of friends, and he finds himself looking for a job. And when you're down on your bottom dollar, as they say, you take anything. That's exactly what he did. He went to a local farmer, possibly, and said, is there anything I can do? I need to have a living. All I've got left for you, mate, feed the pigs. It's the lowest of all the jobs. But he was pleased to take it. Because he had nothing else. He was a boy who had everything, yet he ended up with absolutely nothing. Because he had walked away from the security of the Father's house. And as he sat there, he was so hungry, the Bible tells us, he could have actually eaten what the pigs were eating. Well, I don't know about you, but some of the times I've seen pigs in a pigsty or pigs in a field, I wouldn't like to think anywhere near what they're eating. But he was desperate. Then common sense came in. He said, you know, what a fool I am. What a place to come to. What a fool I am. There's my brother at home. There's my dad at home. There's the servants at home. They've got everything they need. They've got more than they need. Yeah, I'm starving. Well, just imagine that, can't you? What a story. What an implication. Everything, but nothing. So he comes to his senses. Common sense kicks in. And he says, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go back home. And I'm going to say to my father, I've got it all wrong. You were right. I've got it wrong. Will you take me back as one of your servants? So, you know, this is the boy that initially said, give me. Now he's saying, make me. Give me. Everything I got comes from you. Now he's saying, make me one of your servants. What a climb down. Coming from everything to nothing. I wonder what his thoughts were. Would he have said, will my father have me back? Will he have me back after I've squandered all my inheritance? So he decides that he will go back. Now, Bible scholars have us believe, I don't know where this comes from, mine, not my thoughts, that his walk from the home to the pigsty was 3 years. 3 years to blow his money. But his road to recovery was 3 days. And we know in Scripture that 3 days means new life. When Jesus went into the tomb, he rose again after 3 days. And this lad is going to find new life, refinding his life, because he made that decision to go back. And the road to recovery always starts with the first step. It's that first step which is so difficult. When he came to his senses, he said, I will go back, and I will go back to my father. So I've got it all wrong. Can I come back as one of your hired servants? Can you imagine, as he goes along that pathway, that roadway, pondering in his heart over that 3-day period, if it was 3 days to go back? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? How am I going to be received? His heart must have been pounding. The story is told, a true story, in America. Some of the stories that are coming out of America aren't very true at the moment, but this was a true story. There was a lad who had been distant from his father. He hadn't spoken to him for many, many, many years, but he wanted to make up, just like this boy, with his father. He wanted to renew his relationship with his father. So he wrote his father a letter. Hadn't written to him for years, hadn't had any contact with him for years. He says, Dad, I want to come and see you, but I don't know whether you will have me back. I'm going to come to your town, past your house, in a bus. If you will have me back, will you hang in the tree, that apple tree that's in our garden, will you hang in the tree a white ribbon? And if I see that white ribbon, I will know that you're welcoming me back home. So he sets off on this bus, knowing full well he's estranged from his father. As he got closer, he couldn't bear to look at the tree. And he was sat with someone on the bus. And he told him to look out for this ribbon. See if there's a ribbon on the tree, please, for me. He didn't tell him why. Is there a ribbon on the tree? Now, as they got closer to the house, he said to the lad, look for yourself. The tree's covered in ribbons. Ah, what a welcome there was for the boy. And that's exactly the story of the prodigal son. When he gets to his father's house, his father's out looking for him. That son which had wandered off 3 years or so before. Perhaps he went out every day looking for him. And as he sees him coming, he runs to meet him. He runs and puts his arms around him, kisses him, and welcomes him back home. Brings him into the house and says to the servants, my son has returned. He put a ring on his finger. That meant a renewed relationship, because that's what the ring is for. He put sandals on his feet, which tells him he was part of the family. He could walk in that house. Kill the fatted calf, the best we've got, that one we've saved for special occasions. Let's have a party. Let's rejoice. Let's be glad. This my son that was lost and is now found. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Throughout the Gospels, wherever there's a victory, there's always a celebration. And this is a celebration here of a lost son. And it's the same within the family of God. That when any one of us or whoever wanders away, the Father is always wanting to have us back and welcome us back into the fold, bring us back into the house and celebrate with us the return of the prodigal. But sadly, the elder brother, he wasn't happy. He came back to the house and he heard music. He heard dancing. He heard celebration. And he said to the servants, what's this all about? Well, you know your brother that was lost. He's come back and we're rejoicing with him. Oh, I don't like that, he said. All these years I worked for my dad. He's never done nothing like this for me before. Why is he having a party? He wouldn't go in. He was, do you know, we got somebody in our church and he came to know the Lord in a really real way. But, and there is a but, part of his past was still there. And he got involved in an incident, a very serious incident, and he went to prison. And a lot of our folks went and saw him. I didn't go and see him, well, I did ring him on one occasion. Good friend to me. And he's back in our fellowship now, serious warning. But you know, there's people in our fellowship can't really accept him because of what he's done. But here's a chap that's gone off, got it wrong, no common sense, done his time, come back. We've rejoiced with him in the fellowship. But some can't forgive. They couldn't just turn off what's happened. That's a terrible thing, because our God, just like the father in this story, welcomed him and said to his elder son, "Look, don't worry about it. Everything I've got is yours anyway. And you mean the world to me. Come on in and join the party." But he couldn't accept it. And how many times there are, sadly, when things happen within a church situation, people wander and they come back, and some people can't accept that. That's a terrible, terrible thing. I trust that would never, ever happen to you or happen to me. But what a story. This lad who wandered all that way, all that time away from home, living in a pigsty, no common sense at all, eventually came to his senses and came back to his father. What a wonderful story. But you know, it's true. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, he welcomes back all those that have wandered away. Those that have stepped away from the straight line, as it were. Those that don't follow anymore in the way we want them to. They're prodigals, they're away. But the Father's wanting them to come back. And if our children came back, and I know there are folks in this fellowship whose children don't follow in the way that we would like them to, what rejoicing there would be if they came back. Do you know, my prayer is for all of us, for you and for me, for those of us that have got children, relatives, friends that have drifted, gone into the far country like the prodigal, that they will come back, that we will welcome them, celebrate with them, rejoice with them, and give God the glory for what he's done in their lives. May God bless you for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.